Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
We roll on here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Rich in for Tony D. And what a game we saw as the Oklahoma City Thunder were trying to close out the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry would have none of that, yelling, "We're not going home yet." Let's talk about it with Josh Martin from Bleacher Report with NBA writers joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rich?
I'm doing great. Not as good as the Warriors after this victory. Give me your thoughts on the Warriors getting it done at home, saving off elimination.
They looked like the Warriors after two games of looking anything like anything but themselves. They played with poise. They played with confidence. Steph Curry was hitting shots. Klay Thompson was hitting shots. It wasn't a blow-away sort of a situation for the Warriors where they looked like world beaters, but they were certainly good enough to beat a very good Oklahoma City team. They played a really steady game, and it worked for them in this case.
You know, a lot of times you'll look for big-time players to make big-time plays, but for me, watching the game, I want to get your thoughts. There were a lot of undercurrents that happened to get this game going the way it did. Maybe it was Steven Adams getting into foul trouble early. Maybe it was Andrew Bogut, the big man for the Warriors. What was that X factor that you picked up in this game?
I mean, Bogut, I think, was a big part of just a general effort by the Warriors to not be just a jump shooting team, to play inside out. That's when Golden State is at its best. We can get the ball inside and then work its way out from there. You saw Bogut really being effective in the first half, in particular with his physicality inside, getting some buckets off lobs and offensive rebounds, holding his own on the boards in general. I thought he did a wonderful job, and that was going to be a big factor for Golden State because he had not played well in this series. The Warriors' bigs in general had not played well, but they got good efforts out of Festus Ezeli. They got good efforts out of Maurice Spates, to be sure, and they won the rebounding battle and the points in the paint battle pretty handily tonight.
Well, you talk about Festus and Maurice Spates. I mean, come on, those guys never make any comments after the ball game, but really they were one of the linchpins for the Warriors, especially second and third quarter.
Oh, absolutely. They were huge. They were huge for that team. The Warriors really needed to counteract that size inside for Oklahoma City at some point. You knew it was going to happen, that those guys would have to step up if the Warriors were going to stick around on this thing. You know, going up against guys like Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka and Enes Kanter and even Kevin Durant at 7 feet tall, you have to impose something of a physical will at some point if you're the Warriors, because they're, as much as we talk about them being a finesse team, they are a team that can play physical, can play with a lot of attitude, and they really brought that tonight.
Hey Josh, I did want to bring up one thing with you. Josh Martin joining us right now from Bleacher Report. And being a wordsmith, you'll appreciate the best of times, the worst of times. And that's really what I'm watching with Draymond Green right now. There are points in the game where he was just getting above the rim, blocking everything. I think he had 4 blocks tonight. But then there were points where he was just committing silly fouls and giving Oklahoma City 4 points. He's got another technical, one away from getting suspended. I mean, talk about living life on an edge. Give me your thoughts.
I guess that's how Draymond Green prefers to live, on the edge. He's certainly not afraid to bring it when it comes to the trash talk. He likes to instigate. He's that type of guy, for better or for worse. If you're talking about the Golden State Warriors, you would think he's got to keep himself in check a little bit and try to make sure he doesn't get in a ref's face or get in the opponent's face and really play a calm, conservative game. But that's not Draymond, and I think if you tell Draymond not to be Draymond, then you're not going to get a Draymond effort out of Draymond Green.
Did he look like Draymond tonight? Because I think after that kick to Steven Adams in the next game, he kind of lost some of that emotion, and it really took him out of his game.
He looked a lot more like Draymond. He made much better decisions tonight, aside from a few of the silly fouls. I think offensively, he did a much better job of getting the ball where it needed to be and not getting it picked off by all of those long arms of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was really a huge problem for the Warriors in games 3 and 4 in particular. Whenever Draymond would try to pass it inside to whoever it was, whether it was a bounce pass to Klay on a cut or out to Steph Curry or to one of the Warriors' bigs, there always seemed to be an arm there that Draymond was worried about either picking off the ball or winding up throwing the ball out of bounds. He did a much better job controlling that. And that helped the Warriors not only maintain possession, but make something out of those possessions that they had.
Yeah, I was listening to Tom Tolbert and Tim Ryan on the Warriors broadcast. They were talking about the Warriors were able to get that extra pass. They were able to drive, kick it back out, which opened up a bunch of lanes, which I think helped the Warriors. Let's jump over to the OKC side because Kevin Durant and Westbrook, I mean, again, these guys are just trying to single-handedly will themselves to the NBA Finals. Give me your thoughts on them.
Those guys are still tremendous players. You see Kevin Durant going for 40, Westbrook having a really nice game. The difference, of course, is that when you're at home and you're the Thunder, you can count a little bit more on guys like Andre Roberson and Deion Waiters and some other role players to come up big for you because you have that energy. And, you know, role players tend to feed off the energy at home. When you're on the road, you have to lean more heavily on guys like Durant and Westbrook. Those are your superstars. Those are the guys that you count on to come up big for you every single night. They did whatever they could tonight. They just didn't quite have enough to close out this series for OKC.
You know, that's interesting. I've never heard anybody put it that way, that it really is the sixth man that picks up those guys coming off the bench, those guys in the rotation to help give you that advantage. The one guy that I thought single-handedly took advantage of everything was Steph Curry. And everybody's been talking about the MVP. Did you notice the way I did? I mean, there were times where it looked like there was Steph Curry and at least three, if not four, defenders around him, and he was still able to dribble out of trouble.
And that's what Steph Curry does at his best, is he makes magic out of dire situations. There's no more dire situation if you're the Warriors than being on the brink of elimination. And Steph Curry really came up in a big way on individual plays in his game as a whole. And that's what you need if you're the Warriors. If you're going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, you need Steph Curry to be the best player on the floor. Because if he's not, then you're looking at an OKC team that, with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, has the top two guys on any given night.
We're talking right now with Josh Martin, Bleacher Report, bleacherreport.com. All right, give me your thoughts as they get ready to head back to Oklahoma City. What do you think you're going to see?
You're going to see two desperate teams. You're going to see a Warriors team that is on the brink of elimination still. You're going to see a Thunder team that probably understands that if this series goes to Game 7, and that's on the Warriors' home floor, then Golden State's going to have the upper hand. I would tend to think that when Golden State has its back against the wall, that you get the best out of the Warriors, then the Warriors, I think, will do enough to win on the road, though I expect and certainly hope that we get a close game either way.
I just want a Game 7. There's nothing better than a Game 7 in sports, so I'll be greedy. Hey, what are you working on? What are you going to be posting next?
Well, I'm off for the next few days for Memorial Day weekend, but I'll be keeping close tabs on the NBA playoffs here, certainly. And I've got something in the works about the NBA pre-draft process and what guys go through on that front, so keep an eye out for that.
Interesting, because we see what the National Football League does. Then I started to notice this year, the NBA is trying to get more interest in the combines and the workouts and maybe trying to take a page from the NFL's playbook.
It seems like it. I think part of that was what you saw with the difference where they could allow players to declare for the NBA draft without going full bore, allowing guys to test the waters. That put more prospects in the pool. Might have generated some more interest. It's hard to tell, but the NBA draft is always an event, but there's just not enough lead time compared to the NFL draft, which happens, what, 2 months, 2.5 months after the NFL season ends, whereas with the NBA, the draft comes around about a week after the finals. So it's hard to really do that same sort of buildup when you don't really give yourself that much time between the finals and the actual thing.
And then I go searching, and we only got about 30 seconds, I go searching for the Summer League, because I think actually the Summer League is must-see TV once you see these guys that got drafted.
It can certainly be fun. It's not always the best quality of basketball, but it's your first chance to see what some of these guys look like. They're very raw. They're in a very loose environment, but it can still be a lot of fun. And if you go out there to watch it in Vegas yourself, then you can have a little fun out in Sin City as well.
Well, that's why I was like it, because it's like two guys standing on top of a cardboard box shooting it, so it actually feels like you're sitting courtside because the production makes it seem like you're so close. Hey, Josh, I appreciate you taking time joining us. Thank you so much. Catch up with you soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Rich. Take care.